Cosmic Mind. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
Joining us now at PMP Network is Valerie Ray Miller. She is one of the stars of Dark Angel, plays a character called Original Cindy, as opposed to like a copy of Cindy. This is the original, the only Cindy that counts.
The real deal.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm excellent.
I was just talking with Allie Mae, and what an amazing thing this week. You look at the TV guide, and there's Jessica Alba, and Dark Angel already getting written up after only about 5 episodes.
That's most excellent, huh?
Most. Yeah.
Did you read the article?
I did, actually. Did you?
Actually, I didn't. I'm going to ask you some stuff about it.
Shame on you.
I have it sitting on my coffee table. I didn't read it yet.
Well, it is a very interesting article, and it's very positive.
Very good.
And I guess, you know, when you start off with James Cameron in charge, Academy Award winner and a guy with a great record, he goes into TV, and he's not going to fail.
Well, you'd like to think that, but there's no such thing as a sure thing.
Well, it's as close as you're going to get.
Well, yeah, I would think, but then there's also a lot of pressure from the other side.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, if something, what he does can't just be good. You know, you have a lot of shows that have been on forever, like, you know, like Facts of Life or something, and you don't even know that it came on for 20 years, and you just turn on the TV and there it is.
Right.
But a lot of, I don't want to say that's particularly mediocre, but it did have its moments. But, you know, there are a lot of shows that are like that, and they just stay on forever just because they're not offensive, or they're not unusual, so it's not anything difficult for, like, the executives that are in charge of the decision-making process to swallow. And since this show is so different, I think they kind of had to go through a lot of stuff for it to be on the air the way it is.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's groundbreaking in a lot of ways, and that always takes some you know, a little bit of putting your neck on the line.
Right.
You know, you have a very interesting character, and you get to be best friends with Jessica Alba.
Yeah. She's a cool girl.
I like that.
I do too. She's a wonderful girl. I really like her.
Yeah, well, so she's really nice too.
Not
just gorgeous. Hasn't gone to her head yet at all?
Uh-uh, not at all.
No. Not
well, she's a very centered person.
Yeah.
And she's very real. And we sit, like, when a lot of the scenes we have together, we laugh so much, like, you know, in between takes and stuff. So I think that kind of helps her stay balanced too, because she doesn't take too much of it too seriously.
Now, have you seen Jessica since TV Guide came out?
No, I'll see her probably on Friday night.
Beware.
She's been on the cover of a lot of stuff. I don't think it's going to make any difference.
Yeah, probably.
She'll probably look at it. So I was like, oh, I hated that outfit on me or something. She's pretty funny.
Now, you grew up in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yep, sure did.
And before I got in radio, I was on the other side of radio selling them for Radio Shack.
Oh.
And you got your big break from Radio Shack, right?
Oh, Lord, that Radio Shack commercial pops up everywhere. Yeah. Yes, I did.
Well, you see, that Fort Worth is where the headquarters of Radio Shack is located.
Sure is.
And,
the Candy family.
Yeah.
My great aunt is a caterer in Dallas. She is 92, I think. And she's had her own company for like 40, 50 years. And the Tandy family is one of her main clients, which is really funny because she was so excited that I got to do a commercial for Radio Shack.
Now, and you had nothing to do with that at all?
Absolutely nothing.
Did you pull any catering strings for you?
No, I wish. My great aunt can cook, though.
Now, when you went out to L.A. during a summer break from high school, was it?
Yeah.
Where you tried out stand-up comedy?
Well, actually, that was that was like in high school, between high school and college.
What did you think of that? Did you like it?
Yeah, I did really well. Yeah? I took a 6-week course for stand-up comedy in 3 weeks because I was only in town for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Actually, more like 2.5, I guess, because I started in the middle of a class. And I went up on stage, like, you know, in half the time, and the teacher was like, well, don't worry if you don't do so well, because nobody does well the first time they go up. And I did so well.
You killed them the first time, huh?
I killed them. And when I went back to school, I kept getting calls from places trying to get me to do other shows.
That's interesting. I'll tell you one thing that, you know, we've had hundreds of comedians on here.
Right.
And thousands of people who star in TV shows.
Right.
But one of the things I did before I got in radio was I went to L.A. and worked at the Comedy Store.
Ah.
And and I tell people, and I understand, I emulate all I whatever the word is, because I'm starting to lose it at this point, but I've been doing this all day. But, you know, I understand the pain that's up there when you first go up. Now, you didn't have that pain, but when I went up there for the first time, I'll never forget the silence And as many of the comedians that have been on told me that that's so deafening. It just,
oh, yeah.
You know, it may only be silence for 10 seconds, but it feels like an hour and a half before
right.
the first laugh comes and you can
right.
relieve, you know, you can rest.
Well, it also
you didn't have
on,
that situation, though.
Well, it depends on where you come from with it. Like, I've done a lot of theater and I've done a lot of public speaking and that kind of stuff. So for me to get up, it wasn't that big of a difference for me. Because, well, I think a lot of people that have done it really haven't done it. I also used to do improv, like in groups
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So it was kind of a little bit different place for me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, when I got up on stage, I was used to performing in front of a live audience.
Yeah, improv is a lot, in groups really prepares you well for
exactly.
yeah, that.
And you said you did it before, right?
I did, yeah.
So it was great for you with radio, right?
It actually does. You know, it helps in terms of you know, coming up with a quick long liner and relaxing.
Right.
I do a lot of broadcast live in front of groups, you know.
Yeah.
And I like that. I enjoy that more than I do sitting in a studio by myself.
I can understand it.
Because, you know, you can kind of, like, work on the people that are there just as comedians do when they're on the stage.
And that's a specialized skill that not everybody has.
How did you cross over from comedy to hosting and then to acting in L.A.?
Well, since I'd done stand-up, and I had already done some acting, you know, like I was paying for school during commercials and a bunch of other things,
mm-hmm.
And when I auditioned to host some show, what was the first thing I think I hosted that was like a major thing, was a thing for Channel 1 called PETV, and I hosted it, I auditioned and I got the job or whatever, and because of my stand-up background, you know, they could put me in random situations with different people and nothing ever fazed me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like a really good skill that I had. And so because of that, I kept getting like hosting jobs because they send you know this, like people that are listening may not know this, but they send your tape out.
Sure.
And so a lot of times they don't see you or they don't, you know, they don't meet you in person first. They get to see you on a tape first. And so that makes like a big impression on them as to who you are. So I kept getting a lot of jobs because of that. And then I was acting the whole entire time and basically hosting, kind of afforded me the opportunity to pass on a lot of things as far as acting goes,
mm-hmm.
whereas a lot of people act and, you know, you just, everything, your whole world is invested in getting just any acting job.
Right.
And I've always been pretty particular.
Now, it's interesting. When I mentioned that you were coming on, people all, and including myself when I saw your photo, I recognized you from the Fox pregame sports show.
Oh, yeah,
In
yeah.
the Zone.
In the Zone.
Yeah.
Very
and
good.
So you were doing things like that.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right, though. Many people have such pressure. They have to take anything at all.
It's
and
hard.
It can be doomed for their career if they take the wrong thing.
Right. But a lot of people, too, I don't think a lot of people think things through either, you know?
Mm.
I'm a little more of a business-oriented person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still very creative, but I also understand that a lot of things that happen to you, especially with regards to your career, like, say you don't get a job, it's not necessarily because of you.
Right.
There's so many other factors that enter into it, and the cards are actually stacked against you.
Yeah.
So if you get a job, that's wonderful.
Yeah, even getting a job, like a network job, doesn't mean anything because it could be canceled in 3 weeks.
Exactly. Any kind of job. This is like with any other job you have. Mm-hmm. People have a misconception. I mean, because everybody thinks that anything in entertainment is so glamorous, and the more glamorous it is, actually the harder it is. Because they feel that they can pay you nothing, and you should be happy to have the job.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't understand that, so I really feel for a lot of people just doing anything in entertainment. If you're doing okay and you can pay your bills, I think you're doing great.
Now, how much input do you have into the role of Original Cindy?
Actually, a lot. All of us, we've been very fortunate with this project that the producers and the executive producers really listen to us. So they had basically a rough outline, you know, for every character,
mm-hmm.
and they cast actors that were very specific. Like, we all came in doing our own thing. And I was told they saw over 1,000 actors for each role. So
wow.
I think that's pretty interesting that they selected us out of, you know, that many people. So I think they kind of figured we were bringing something in.
Well, I've now spoken to pretty much everybody in the cast. And,
okay.
and one thing that comes across from everybody is that it's a great group of people.
Oh, it definitely
you get along well. And, you know, it's a crapshoot when you're on TV. You can end up with a bunch of prima donnas.
Yes.
And I understand there aren't anybody in the group like that.
Not at all. It's a great group of people. And I think people sometimes don't believe us because we all get along so well.
Mm.
But it's a wonderful experience. And, like, even from, like I said, from Jim all the way to, like, the PAs that
mm-hmm.
work on the show. But, you know, one of the thankless jobs. Everybody works so hard.
Right.
We're almost like a family. Like, everybody gets along really well, and nobody has a lot of ego. And, you know, it's just really great.
Yeah, the only other show that I've talked to with the same situation is another Fox show, That 70s Show, where everybody,
oh,
not
love
only,
that show.
They get along great on the set, and they all hang out together when they're
that.
Not working.
I can believe that. I met the mom on That 70s Show. She's so fabulous.
Yeah, she's great.
She's funny.
It's a great show. Yeah, I'm a big TV fan and actually a huge Fox fan.
Excellent.
I like Boston Public and Ally McBeal, and obviously I love Doc Angel Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock.
Go ahead,
but,
baby.
when you're not working, do you watch TV at all?
Sometimes I watch pretty random things.
Yeah.
The only show that I ever used to watch religiously was X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been still, you know, I still try to.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I watch that, and I watch, like, the Sunday Night Lineup.
Yeah, X-Files has gone a little bit on the weird side.
That's what's getting to me. Now they keep having this stuff under people's skin.
Yeah, that grossed me out the other night.
Yeah, me too. And then they have it coming up again. Enough already with the stuff under your skin.
Yeah, especially when it happens to poor Jillian. I don't like that.
Exactly. It's pretty nasty. So just, you know, that. And then I actually, on Tuesday nights, I actually really do like that 70s show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
And I actually have been watching Dark Angel, which is surprising, because, you know, a lot of times you're on something and you don't really want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But we shoot things so quickly, and we're so spaced out, I don't get to see a lot of the other actors' work. So when I see it, I'm seeing it like everybody else.
Mm.
So I actually kind of like it.
Do you have, like, parties with your friends so I sit and watch it?
Not really, but a lot of my friends watch it, but no, because I'm usually in Vancouver. So, you know, it's just the cast and everybody's working. So, like, some nights we're not off on Tuesday, so we don't get to see it because we're at work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how's your family been through all this? Very supportive?
Yeah, my family's great.
Mm,
my dad has a liquor store in Fort Worth, and he has a shrine up to me, and all the winos know me. Yeah.
Now, that's pretty funny. So you're a big star in the liquor store, huh?
Exactly. Nobody else in America may care, but the liquor store in Rosedale, everybody knows who I am.
Now, when you come back home, does Dad tell you to come down and sign autographs?
No, not really. I mean, I don't think most of those people that come in there too much care for an autograph, but if I slide them a pint of Hennessy, I think they'd be my friend.
Yeah, if you give them an autograph and a shot, they'd like that.
Right, right.
Valerie Ray Miller, the star of Dark Angel, she's plays original Cindy, and you can see her every Tuesday night at 9 on Fox, and it's a great show, and I want to wish you a lot of luck, and before I let you go, I want to find out if you're doing anything in terms of movies. Are you looking at scripts, doing anything in that vein or in the live theater?
Well, our shooting schedule is kind of weird right now. So I don't, you know, typically you get a winter, like a hiatus, like around the holidays. We're not going to get the same time that everybody else is getting.
Hmm.
So they're still rearranging our schedule, so I wouldn't be able to do anything until the summer. So it's kind of a ways off.
So you're not looking at anything or even thinking about it at this point?
We've looked at a couple of things, and, like, we, as far as, you know, my entourage.
Your management team, yes.
Exactly. Yes. The people that I give my money to. But we've looked at a couple of things, and it's just the timing. We're just trying to figure out how we can do it with the shooting schedule for this show because, you know, typically you get off, like, at least a month, but sometimes 2 or 3 months this time of the year. And we'll probably get 2 weeks off.
Mm.
So.
Well, I want to wish you a lot of luck. And for you, for the folks out in Fort Worth, Texas, who go to your dad's liquor store, it's Miller time. Valerie and Miller, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
You take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.